This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. This is The Morning Run and you're here with Wong Shaoning and Roshan Kanisan, who is beaming from an undisclosed location in Petaling Jaya. It has just gone past 7:06 in the morning. It's Tuesday, 8th of December. And actually, if you look out of the window or you're driving, it's quite a lovely morning so far. But in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Yap Lip Sing, Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, on what the resumption of interstate travel means for the industry. But before that, markets.
If you take a look at the US markets, they were a bit mixed. The Dow was down 0.5%, the S&P was down 0.2%, and the NASDAQ was up. It was the only one of the big three in the green, 0.5% up. And if you take a look at Asia at the close yesterday, they were predominantly in the red. Japan and Shanghai were both down about 0.8%. Hong Kong was down 1.2%. Singapore was down 0.5%. But look here, Shaoning, the one that bucked the trend, KL, it was up 0.1% in the green.
Despite the Fitch downgrade from A minus to triple B plus. So, you know, looks like maybe there were some local funds busy buying the FBM KLCI. But nonetheless, for more on global markets this morning, we speak to Joel Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Now, Joel, markets seem to be in a state of flux, up one day and down the next. Can you help us make sense of this volatility?
Well, there's a lot of cross currents right now and expectations in and around a fiscal stimulus, the vaccination, earnings season just closed out better than expected earnings. So, and this is kind of a seasonal time for trade. There could be some tax loss harvesting. But in general, I am of the belief that we continue to grind higher. So there's a lot for investors to digest. But at the end of the day, we think we're going to grind higher, not only in the United States, but the global equities in general.
But how do we reconcile last week's lower-than-expected non-farm payrolls number with a reduction in the overall U.S. unemployment rate? Now, are we seeing permanent job losses across all economic sectors, which is not good for the economy then?
No, I mean, it's not permanent job losses across all the sectors. I mean, we're seeing, you know, better healthcare numbers, employment. We're seeing a boom in logistics and warehousing. But we're still seeing job losses at the state and local level. Retail is still getting hammered here. So, you know, the U.S. economy is a very complex $20 trillion economy with different industries pulsing through it. And there we go. The labor force participation rate has also come down. This is not to be unexpected. There's a lot of people just not looking for work. So the number was disappointing, but the unemployment rate at 6.7% continues to improve.
And what we do know is that I think there's a new $908 billion fiscal package that might finally secure bipartisan support for both the U.S. House and the Senate. Now, do you know what the details of the stimulus are and how dependent is the recent equity rally that we've seen based on this being passed?
Well, the equity rally is part and parcel due to the expectation that they'll get a fiscal stimulus sooner rather than later, i.e. during the lame duck congressional session that we're in. The details still to be worked out, but there's a lot more money allocated in the $908 billion towards state and local governments, and they need this money to continue providing the public services they had to avoid more unemployment at the state and local level. We're also going to see maybe $300 more per unemployment check, so there'll be some of this money sent directly to the households, not as much as before. So, you know, a lot of investors they're not happy. It's $908 billion, but, you know, that's still a lot of money. And we've had a lot of fiscal stimulus already. So this continues to kind of help create that momentum for more growth. We're not looking for a fourth quarter slowdown in the U.S. economy.
Meanwhile, energy stocks in the S&P 500 have soared recently. How much of this is due to the recent upsurge in oil prices, which are albeit still down like close to 20% on the year-to-date basis? Do you see U.S. shale production improving or increasing to pre-pandemic levels?
Well, the first part of that question, it's just the upswing in oil prices. The oil markets are pricing in a synchronized global expansion beginning now into 21 as well, led by China, the United States, and belatedly the European Union. So that's number one. Number two, the OPEC members have been a little bit more disciplined, plus Russia, a little bit more disciplined about the production in terms of the supply coming into the markets. And I think the U.S. shale production, it's still below the pre-pandemic levels. You know, we're just awash in oil, relatively speaking. there's stability there, predictability. Remember, to be a right after the pandemic struck, oil prices collapsed. We've worked our way back to more certainty. So I do think, you know, the energy stocks are doing well here, but I think the best is past. I wouldn't be buying energy here.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Joel Quinlan at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York, giving us his views on oil. And interestingly, he thinks that the best is over for oil prices. It has recovered. I think it wasn't that long ago when WTI was in negative territory. It was like unheard of. And I think that was more due to the fact that there was no storage facilities for this oil. So all the futures traders were trying to dump it, causing it to go like negative, never seen before. But nonetheless, oil prices have recovered from the all-time lows. A few things, of course. One, of course, is the expectation that global economic recovery is in the horizon. And with that, there'll be resumption of demand, not only just from, you know, traveling in your cars, but also jet fuel. What were your other key takeaways, Roshan?
I mean, Shining, we were talking about why the markets are in flux. I think when we take a look forward, there is that expectation of a stimulus. It's not in flux, but why the optimism around it, the markets have already priced that in, right? They're expecting some kind of stimulus during this lame duck session that we're seeing. But I think Joe's comments on the oil were particularly interesting, as you noted, they're also pricing in this synchronized global expansion. We haven't heard that word in a while, right? This was the theme for the last 10, 20, 30 years. We had this, everyone seemed to be growing at the same time. Now, the oil market at the beginning of this year was about 100 million barrels per day, demand and supply side. Now, I think based on the estimates we got, I think a few days ago from the IEA, it's around 92 million barrels, or that's their expectation. It's still less, but we're heading towards the recovery that the oil players really want. But again, this is all pricing that in, right? So now that you've priced it in, any derailment could see significant correction to the prices.
Yeah, but another market that is still quite hot is the is listings, is IPOs. And the big one, of course, is America. We've seen some notable ones, but I think the one that's up and coming is, of course, Airbnb, because they have boosted the price range of its IPO. Its valuations could now be as much as $42 billion, with shares going for $56 to $60 each. This is up from the original target of $44 to $50 previously, indicating that its IPOs, one of the most close watch this year, is seeing high demand from investors.
Yeah, and you know, Shani, when I look at that valuation of $42 billion, I can't help but think about the, we spoke to an analyst recently about IPOs in Asia, and the biggest one was in Thailand, and that was an $8 billion valuation. I mean, these are mega, mega IPOs. And this seems to indicate, this particular Airbnb IPO, that there is high demand from investors, right? So the fact that they had a price first and then there seemed to be demand, so they've upped the price basically. And sure, travel, we know travel is not doing well, but there is encouraging vaccine news. This has led to investors maybe becoming a bit more receptive towards companies that have not quite benefited from the pandemic. And if we even look before, Airbnb was one of those unicorns that was particularly favored, right? It doesn't have any of the didn't have any of the legacy issues that Uber had, and it was more of a, it felt a bit more disciplined as opposed to Uber. But hey, we'll only know once they go public and we start getting the real financial statements. I mean, yes, they put their S1. We know they were profitable in the last quarter, but still generally loss making. The other one, of course, is DoorDash. We're not familiar with it, but it's the biggest food delivery
service. Grab food, right?
Yeah, it's Grab food, but in the US, but it's the biggest player there. They have the biggest part of the market, and their IPO, they've also upped their range. They're looking at marketing 33 million shares at $90 to $95 a piece now.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to Airbnb, the model is, do you value it as a tech company? Because it owns actually no assets, right? Even DoorDash, at the end of the day, it's all about the tech. It's all about the app, right? That's the power that they have. And I think market's very interested in that kind of business. It's all the new wave. But how do you value it is the big question. But up next, will hotels get a boost from interstate travel? We will find out. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.